Welcome to Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. I am your host, Shayna Black, and in each episode, my special guest and I will talk about local events, the topic of access in Cleveland, and sometimes we'll just talk about some cool people who are doing cool things in the greater Cleveland area. I'll introduce you to this week's guest right after this. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I am your host, as always, Shayna Black, and today I have Tony Sias here, who is the president and CEO of Cleveland's beloved Caramu House. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Shayna, for having me.
Sure, at any time. I'm just so glad you're here. Let's just take a step back, because people move to Cleveland or they find this podcast, however they find podcasts. What is Caramu House, for those that don't know?
So Caramu House is the oldest Black producing theater in the country, celebrating 107 years. Our mission is to produce professional theater, provide arts education, and present community programs for all people while honoring the Black experience.
For all people. Because I know that some people don't think that. They don't know that it's for all people.
Well, you know, Caramu is about inclusion and everybody is welcome. And so when we say that, Caramu was founded in 1915 as a settlement house. And, you know, settlement houses were the early forms of social service agencies. Mm-hmm. And primarily we were serving Eastern European immigrants because our founders were a Jewish couple. And so from 1915 to 1917, it was all Eastern European immigrants.
I didn't know that.
In 1917, there were two little Black boys on the front porch of Caramu House, and they asked Mrs. Jelliffe, because she, Russell and Rowena Jelliffe are our founders, asked Mrs. Jelliffe, could they come in? And that was the beginning of the integration of Caramu House. So many people think that we were founded as a mm-hmm. Black theater,
yes.
But no, we weren't. And it speaks to the consciousness of our founders, a Jewish couple who were serving the Jewish community in mm-hmm. the central neighborhood, which was known as the Roaring Third then. So it was not about just serving their people. It was about serving the people of the community. And so the organization continued to grow. So as the Great Migration occurred, Black folks moving to the Midwest and into the central neighborhood, the integration of the institution kept going. So by the 1940s, we were really known as, you know, that little Black theater in Cleveland that was mm-hmm. doing great things.
Yes. So first of all, thank you for the history lesson. I didn't know all of that. So I know the points that we talk about here locally about, you know, largest, oldest running African-American theater, but I didn't know all of that. And I am a Cleveland history buff. So like, my little heart is thanking you for that little gold nugget of information. Like, we could take this whole show a different way. But I'm glad you're here, because you have an event that I went to a couple of years ago, and I think it is one of the most amazing events in the city. And it's the Second Line Parade and Sneaker Ball. Tell us what that is. Like, and tell us, first of all, tell us where that is.
Caramu's Second Line Parade and Sneaker Ball is held at Lakeview Cemetery. And Lakeview Cemetery is actually where President Garfield mm-hmm. is buried. But there are so many Cleveland luminaries that that reside there in Lakeview. So the Second Line tradition is a New Orleans tradition. Enslaved Africans created this in terms of mourning the death of the deceased. And that's the first line, the pastor and the family. But then the second line is about the celebration of the person who has gone on. And it's important to celebrate, because that's another phase. It is believed that that is another step in ushering that person over into their next phase of existence outside of the earthly world that we live in. Central to Caramu's mission is honoring the Black experience. And what other education could we do in terms of, in a cemetery, we wanted to partner with Lakeview Cemetery to say, let's do Second Line. So when we do the event each year, we honor a Caramu alum or a Cleveland notable who is resting there. And this year we are celebrating the life and legacy of Anthony E. Tony Smith, also known as Tony Smith, and he was the president and CEO of AES Management. The organization has done incredible work. He was a great father, incredible businessman. His wife, Vanessa Whiting, is now leading the organization with all of the success that it has. So we're excited to celebrate the life of Tony. But let's talk about when you get to Second Line. So you arrive at Wade Chapel. There's a celebration there. We acknowledge, we have a libation ceremony. We sing a spiritual, because, and it's really specifically a dirge. And the dirge is in the tradition of New Orleans, that at every Second Line, a dirge is sung. And then, of course, that brass band. So then all of our guests will process around the pond behind Lakeview Cemetery, and we end in a big tent where our 350 to 400 guests get to celebrate incredible Creole fare, a fantastic band. We'll have a silent auction, and we're going to do a sneaker off. So people will get to parade in their sneakers. So it's attire is all white. Mm-hmm. You wear your sneakers as well for comfort. So the first part is the second line parade. The second half is the sneaker ball.
So I attended the event. I think that was your first event. Was it 2019, right before COVID?
Yes, it was.
And I get it. Like, when people were like, a party in the cemetery. Like, you know, when I first heard that, not that Lakeview has some amazing concerts going on there.
Yes.
But, you know, even when I told my aunt, I'm like, hey, it's at Lakeview. You know, we should go. And she's like, in a cemetery? Like, people can't get past that for a minute. And so I went, as a guest of someone, I went and I pulled up and it was just like, whoa, this is like, it was mind blowing just to walk into that and see all the beautiful people, and they're all white, and the parasails, and at the time, like, Lolly the Trolley was still running tours, and, like, it was an experience that I've not seen here in Cleveland, and I'm like, for Kiramu, like, they did this thing, they did this thing, and then even in the second line, like, I know it's called that, I didn't know we were doing that when I first went, just as my experience of it, like, you're like, come on, and we had the grand marshals, and we actually walked, and I'm like, where are we walking to, because I didn't know, and so when we came around that bend and saw that beautiful, like, white tent, and it was just like, oh, it was like a garden party.
Exactly.
And you forgot. It was so easy to forget where you were. It's just a beautiful landscape. You know, we're outside on a beautiful sunny day, all white. You know, people are giving people props for their sneakers and tennis shoes and all that good stuff. And it was just like family, you know. And I remember just telling people when I left, like, oh my gosh, if they had do this again, you have to go. You have to go. You have to go.
Well, you know, Shayna, the cemeteries are for the living. And that Lakeview Cemetery was designed as an English garden. So you using saying that it just felt like it was a garden party. It actually is a garden party experience.
Right.
One of the things, as a spiritual and a God-fearing man, prior to the event, I go and spend time there asking all of the residents for permission for being there. I feel like that is so important, because quite often those people say, oh, a cemetery, that's disrespectful and all that kind of stuff. Life should be celebrated. And although we have one honoree, we are celebrating all of the residents in Lakeview Cemetery.
And I noticed that when I went, you know, like, we were leaving or it was ending, and you were like, you know, we want to make sure that we honor the residents as we leave, and so that we can leave their space and not overstay. It was in that moment, like, when I heard you say the residents, because we just sometimes don't refer to the people that are buried in a cemetery. We just, you know, you go see your grandma or your mom and that's it. But we don't think of them as that's their residence.
Now, yes.
Their new earthly residence. And so it was in that, like, I could feel the mind shifting, like, yes. And it was also to be more honorable when we were in the space. So as we took pictures, like, I didn't want to be, you know, hanging on people's, like, headstones, like, check me out, you know, like, that felt that way. Like, so you had this reverence of the space we were in and this appreciation of the past while we celebrated Kiramu. And I just thought that was just an amazing, amazing, like, experience.
Thank you.
So I hope this is number one, your annual event, so that, because tickets are sold out for individuals.
Yes.
But if you'd like to sponsor, you can.
So yes, our individual tickets are completely sold out, but sponsorships are still available, and they start at $1,000 and they go up to $25,000. And, you know, this is a benefit. This is about us raising money. Mm-hmm. This is about us coming back, as most all organizations and institutions are coming back out of this pandemic, setting the stage for the future. And things have changed permanently in a lot of different respects. So we want to continue to be a thriving institution in Cleveland. We've done some incredible work over the last 7 years, and we always need the support, the time, talent, and treasure of Clevelanders and folks from Northeast Ohio to invest and support our work.
Yes. While we talk about second line, you said you're going to do it again. So when the tickets go on sale, folks, like, get the tickets. That's all I can say. Get the tickets. And there's only a few events like that in Cleveland that, like, they're going to sell out like that. And so for me, like, you guys are one of the summer experiences. Like, people know, like, that day tickets go on sale, like, you're going to have your laptop open at work because you need to get the tickets.
Yes.
And so I am so glad that this event, like, for Kiramu, you have this event. Like, you're one of those organizations that has this event and that people just want to be there.
Thank you.
So I am just, like I said, I'm a fan of the event and I'm a fan of Caramu. But there's other stuff happening at Caramu.
Yeah.
Like Caramu ain't the same old Caramu anymore, right? Like, not to say growing up, but Caramu is 2.0 or 3.0 or whatever rendition we're on right now.
Thank you for following us to know that the first 5-6 years we were at 2.0. I feel like we are pressing hard on 3.0 and I think that we're there.
Okay. So let's talk about it. Like, there's constructions and like lots of stuff is happening at Caramu,
yeah,
right?
Lots of stuff is happening. So we're in phase 3 construction. So phase 1 and 2 really consisted of our larger theater, the Jello Theater, renovating mm-hmm. it, and then all the ancillary areas. So we have a gift shop.
Yeah, that lobby's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Portico and gallery and lounge and so that's phase 1 and 2. Our current construction includes creating an outdoor stage, a bistro. So there's some healthy food options. You can come and get something to eat prior to a show or after a show and an adult beverage. We're renovating our smaller black box theater and we're creating a brand new streetscape mm-hmm. on the corner of East 89th and Quincy. So there'll be a huge marquee that when you get to that corner or as you approach that corner, you know that you are arriving at a destination location.
Nice.
And we have a paver campaign. So the
yes.
pavers, individuals bought pavers and put their family names on it and dedication. So we're excited to have engaged the community to have a presence on that corner through our paver campaign.
Can people still buy pavers or is that done?
That campaign is over
wow.
as well.
That's good, though. That's
it
a good
is
thing.
Good. Yes, yes, yes. So our goal is to be completed with phase 3 renovation by the end of February of 2023. And we're just excited. So hopefully in the spring of 2023, not hopefully, in spring of 2023, we'll be announcing a grand opening that will welcome the community back to Caramu House. And we would have completed phase 3 and completed the renovations on our theater wing of the building.
Okay. How many phases are there planned for this?
Well, let me just say
this. Or is 3 the last?
3 is not the last.
Okay.
So our focus 3 will complete the renovation on our theater wing of mm-hmm. the building. We then have our education administration wing. And then we have our annex building that is a freestanding building that once upon a time was the daycare center. Mm-hmm. Phase 4 will be the administration wing. And phase 5 will be the annex. That's where we are at this point. But we're in the midst of, we'll launch a master planning process that really will further define not just phase 4 and 5, but how Caramu will continue to engage community and motivate others to continue to invest in the heart of Fairfax as we think about being right there, one mm-hmm. block north of Opportunity Corridor.
Yes, yes. And so when you said the signage and this is the destination, like that was the immediate thought is when you come through that opportunity corridor, you're going to be like, oh, Caramu is here.
Yes.
I think that's super dope. That's
Thank
cool.
Thank you.
I know that you guys, just for folks that don't know and they have kids, like you guys have an arts education program. So I have a friend whose kids go to, I think, dance classes there, right?
Okay.
So I just want to make sure that we shout that out because Caramu is just not coming to see a show.
Caramu is not just coming to show. Education has been central to Caramu's mission from its inception. Mm-hmm. And so we have after school and weekend programs for lifelong learners. I say from the womb to the tomb.
Yes.
But our youth programs will start in September and they run through the spring. We just brought to closure our Summer Arts Academy. We had an ensemble of about 25 students. And that Summer Arts Academy is really focused on students who really know that they want to engage in the arts. They did Midsummer Night's Dream. It was an incredible production with their own interpretation, and it was just awesome. Our education program is about mastering your skill, but it's also about learning in and through the arts because everybody doesn't want to
right.
be an artist.
Right.
But how do these skills translate over into learning how to problem solve, social emotionally development, learning how to work in teams, and so a text interpretation. Mm-hmm. So quite often in life, you know, you hear something that someone says, and you might need to think about not what they said, but the intentions behind
Absolutely.
What they're saying. We call that subtext in theater. So it really is these skills that go beyond performing. It's how these are lifelong skills.
And I like the fact that you brought up the fact that it is womb to tomb. Because I know as a lifer here, a longtime Clevelander, so many of us came to Caramu in different ways. Like I always talk about what's the on-ramp. And so how did you first hear about Caramu? For me, I think it was like my grandmother would talk about going to Caramu when she first came to Cleveland. Right. But for me, like, oh, that's what grandma did. Right. But I was little.
Right.
And so Caramu had a different feel to me. Or for some, when I was teaching, like we brought students there. I remember that's where we saw a stage play of Anansi the Spider.
Right.
So for those kids, it's a different experience. But there was never, it never seemed until recently for it all to connect. And so I think that's why I'm loving this flow of Kiramu, is because Kiramu is a space for folks to like just kind of come and be and learn and, you know, just express yourself.
Yeah, so we try to
that's
create
my little soapbox being sorry, but like, I appreciate your work.
Well, thank you. And I want to say thank you to Grandma for coming to Kiramu, for saying what it is, and you finding your on-ramp to the institution. You know, my first time at Kiramu was in the summer of 1992. Mm-hmm. And I was finishing my graduate work at Ohio University. And to do that, to get the MFA in acting, you had to get a residency. I got a residency at the Cleveland Playhouse. So then I finished the work there. And they were doing a show called The Hot Mikado. And The Hot Mikado is a jazz version of the opera, The Mikado. Mm-hmm. And so I was invited in to sit through this rehearsal. I walked in, and I had never in my life, and at that point I was 26, 27 mm-hmm. years old, had done a lot of work around the country and world, actually. And I had never seen that many Black folks that fierce in their artistic pursuit. Yes. The voices, the choreography, it was just incredible. And I said, wow, one day I want to lead this institution.
And here you are.
Yes. So it was just kind of coming full circle. I was just blown away.
Do you walk through the theater and just think that some days, like, wow, like, I used to dream of this. Like,
yeah,
I love those moments.
I do. It is a labor of love. It is an appointment from God, mm-hmm. because the work is a heavy lift. In terms of when I arrived, there was incredible opportunity for change and growth. And so we had to shepherd that forward. Reintroducing Kiramu mm-hmm. to people who had disconnected from the organization mm-hmm. and introducing Kiramu to new Clevelanders. And when I say new Clevelanders, not new residents, but people right. who have been here who
they just didn't know.
So our work is really centered around helping everybody know that we have this national treasure right here in the heart of Cleveland, in the heart of Fairfax. That's incredible. That's something special.
Yes, yes. When I travel, you know, we talk about Playhouse Square, and we talk about Playhouse Square and how it relates to New York. Like, we're just, I mean, theater here in Cleveland is amazing as a whole. Like, we have a great industry for that. I remember I was in New York and someone was like, oh, you get these shows in Cleveland. I'm like, you know Cleveland Theater? And then I'm like, and then this, and then, and Kiramu, you know, and I look like this, like, strange person, like, and then Kiramu, and you not care? And like, you just start giving these facts about how great the work is for artists or just theater and arts here in our community. Like, that's one thing I will give props to is Cleveland. It's like, our arts community thrives here.
Yes.
And we do so much great work in so many different paths. So it's not like you can only be a painter.
Right.
Or, you know, you must dance and that's it. Like, it's not ballet. We don't, like, we have a booming industry. And so I enjoy that and I enjoy your work with that. So let's talk about re-engaging folks. So some people maybe have not engaged with Kiramu yet, right?
Right.
What's a great way for them to come on board? Like, what would be your first thing to say? Like, buy a ticket to a show, get involved and volunteer? Like, what's the on board here?
You know, I would say buy a ticket to a show. But when I say buy a ticket to a show, that show could be a concert. That show could be a comedy show. And of course, we want you to come to our main stage theater productions. And so we try to diversify our offerings around entertainment. And so creating a pathway to theater is kind of like your idea of the on-ramp. Mm-hmm. You know, some people might say, I don't do plays, that ain't me.
Right.
But I will go to a comedy show. So sometimes at our comedy shows, we raffle off a couple of tickets to one of our theatrical productions. Nice. Because we want people to begin to figure out how to dip their toe mm-hmm. over into theater. Because this theater thing is really reflecting the human experience. And there's so much that you can learn about yourself and about others when you come and sit in that room and be there with this other group of folks and have this experience. It's magical. Mm-hmm. And so we really do want people to find their on-ramp. The other piece that I would say is for families, it's important that, as you mentioned, I talk about the education program, start them young, introduce them to arts and culture. Because quite often when you know, a student can be very academically astute. They can do exceptionally well in school. But if they haven't had some exposures that are culturally driven, when they get to some of the more colleges and universities that might not be as inclusive, having that point of reference around arts and culture quite often levels the playing field. And through the work that we do at Kiramu House, you get to know yourself. Mm-hmm. Our program really is around the Sankofa model. Looking back to better understand the past, to then connect with the present and a vision for the future.
I think the question I would say also for theater folks, we're a theater family, so is you just haven't seen yourself in the theater. You know, most of us, especially as Black folks, the music, the dance, like we feel that and we can get involved and it unpacks us. Whereas if you may be sitting in a different show, it's just not the show for you.
Right.
You can't help but kind of tap your feet or snap your fingers or something and bop along. And so I think part of that that Kiramu does well is that it reflects what you are, your existence, which is, you know, what you do. I think one of the last shows I saw, I can't remember what it was, but it just was so, it felt like watching one of our sitcoms. You know what I mean? Like a TV show.
Was it Sassy Mamas?
I think it was. It might have been right before COVID.
Right.
But it's in that space of, if I didn't know theater, I could have easily just processed it. Hey, I'll come back. And so I think that you guys, the shows that you produce are just good stuff.
Well, you know, it's important that people come to your point, come to Kiramu and say, well, it's a Kiramu experience, only because we as Black people, we are vocal, we are visceral, we mm-hmm. respond. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes can be an old school theater prude mm-hmm. that I want people to kind of be still yes. and listen, because you only get it one time, you cannot rewind.
Yes.
And that's still important. But there's a balance there, that to give people permission to be present in a way that's not disruptive to the actors, but also allowing you to be present and authentic to yourself, because right. that collective experience in the space really is awesome. Right. And that's what happens in those walls. I don't know what happens. Well, I do know what happens in other theaters, but we welcome and invite that kind of interactive experience.
Yeah. And it's just like music. We may not all love the same type of music. You just have to find, I think, the theater for you.
So, yes.
Okay. So let's talk about the holidays at Kiramu, because Kiramu puts on a production that I know from just even our newsletter clicks, like people are very interested in, and that's Black Nativity. Is that coming back this year?
Yeah, Black Nativity is coming back this year. It's kind of a holiday staple. Mm-hmm. People love it. Yeah, one of my friends had come to the production several years ago, and this was his first time seeing it. He loved it. And then he says, well, I say, are you coming this year? And he says, no, me and my wife saw it 2 years ago. I said, no, each year is different. We reimagine the production in a way that makes it so much more accessible, not just to the young, but for all. It's an experience. So, you know, 1 year in 2019, we did a contemporary version of the show. We set the action of the play in an urban setting. Mary had the baby next to a dumpster. It was not a manger. Mm-hmm. And so it allowed younger people to say, wow. You know, and that's not to take anything away from the traditional nativity story, because the story is mm-hmm. there. It's about how we present it. And so it's important that if you've seen it before, each year you'll see a fresh, new, reimagined production.
So this should just be part of your Christmas tradition.
Yes, it should be.
Your holiday tradition.
Your holiday tradition.
You put the tree up every year, you should come down.
Yeah, and if you don't put a tree up, guess what? We
it's
have
okay.
the spirit of a tree and a tree at Kiramu for
right.
you to experience.
Or your Kwanzaa candles or all that stuff. Like, it's part of your holiday experience. It should
yes.
be.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Couple questions before we wrap up. For folks that are interested in theater and kind of getting in the business or performing on stage, and they're here locally, don't know where to start, or they're coming back from college, what's your advice to them? Is Kiramu a place? Like, call me, I'll talk to you. What's the advice?
So I'm going to start with, go to our website okay. at kiramuhouse.org
okay.
and check out auditions, check out programming. If you are interested in making your path to the stage and you haven't had much experience, I encourage you to take a class to better understand the science and technique of acting. You know, we all have raw talents, but it's really understanding what all goes into not just being the actor on the stage, but all the things that are happening around you. So the education in theater is really important as a whole. We're always looking for fresh new talent. So we encourage you to kind of just audition, take classes, come see shows, come to programs. We have community conversations. So yeah, just connect with us.
Okay. You guys are on social. You want to shout that out real quick? And we'll put in the links, but follow them on social so that they can stay informed, right?
Without question.
So that way you know when to audition. And then I think my final question for you.
We do have an audition coming up in August in a couple of weeks, but go to the website. I don't want to misquote the dates.
Okay. Do you say the show, or do you just say these are the roles we're auditioning for?
So we will be announcing our abbreviated season the week of August 8th. And one of the reasons why it's abbreviated, because of our construction schedule, our phase three.
But I meant for the people auditioning. Like, do you say, oh, you're auditioning for this show?
Yeah, we will list the shows that we'll be auditioning for.
Okay. So finally, my question to you is, you know, you've accomplished what you set out for, to lead Caramu House. You're in phase three of construction. What do you see for yourself as you, like, what's your legacy as you leave Caramu, or as you age at Caramu, or as you, you know, what do you want? What's your hopes for Caramu?
That I have left the place better than I found it, period. Right. And an institution that is operating to industry standards, that there's a state-of-the-arts facility for 21st century experiences in arts and culture and community, and that we are financially sound and continue to be financially sound based on where we were upon getting there in 2015, where we are today, and having a solid foundation for the next leader to soar.
Again, I'm looking at the website. If you haven't visited Caramu House's website, definitely check it out, caramuhouse.org. I'm usually there every Friday just to see what your show is, to make sure that our readers know what's coming up this weekend, so people can get tickets and just come out and support. I just really want to thank you for your time. Definitely follow him on social. You'll want to see the pictures from the Second Line party if you have not been. I just want to say thank you. Any last words that you want that we didn't cover, or that, like, hey, I got to say this real quick.
Cleveland is a great arts and culture community. Caramu House, again, is the oldest Black theater in the country. Come experience us. And Caramu is a word that means a place of joyful gathering. And we live that every day in everything that we do.
Awesome. Thank you. My guest today is Tony Sias, President and CEO of Cleveland's Caramu House. Thank you.
Thank you.